Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a man in Maine with a metal detector found a penny that's 222 years old.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You know what else is? Hubie Brown.
You know, see, you know what a tough guy Hubie is. If Hubie wanted to find you and just run up the stairs to the attic and give you a beatdown, you know he can still do that. Yeah. You know that. I know, you know that.
Yes, but this makes Hubie happy. I question, by the way, a penny that is 222 years old. I mean, I do.
Well, who was on the face of the penny?
1798?
I'm not sure I believe it either.
Is that 1798
they were making pennies then and date them? Today.
I don't trust that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Justin Turner breaks protocol, Trevor Lawrence considers a senior season, and Daryl Morey is headed to the Sixers. But we begin today with the tipping point in the World Series. Kevin Cash taking out Blake Snell in the sixth inning last night with one on and one out and a 1-0 lead. Snell had been brilliant to that point. No runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts. The move backfired immediately. The Dodgers got 2 quick runs off Nick Anderson, added another later in the game on a home run by Mookie Betts, and won the World Series. Wilbon, can you defend what Cash did?
No. And I don't want to hear anybody else try and defend it either, because some things are just indefensible, and this is one of them. Tony, I'm offended by what I saw last night. Just as somebody who grew up on baseball, whose first love in sport was baseball, who played baseball, who pitched, and it's just offensive. So numbers are so important to you, Kevin Cash, that you can't use your eyes, which are supposed to be professionally trained and steeled, and you've been a bench coach and a manager, you've done all these things, and you don't know when you need to leave a guy alone. You want to take the game away from the players, take the game away from a starting pitcher who's lights out, who the other team is now not afraid of, but going, oh, my God, they're shaking their heads. And you don't have this baseball sense in you to leave him alone and ride your good fortune to have this guy going this well. Tony, I was in contact via text with a couple of recent former notable Major League Baseball players, and they were as startled about this development as I was. And I just couldn't, there's no defending it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot at defending him, and I'm going to preface it by saying if we don't learn from history, we're always going to be doomed to repeat it. Kevin Cash has seen Blake Snell. He has managed Blake Snell for years now. He's seen him all year. He hasn't gone through the sixth all year. I'm going to read from my notes. His ERA in these playoffs in the first 4 innings, where he's been great, is 1.35. From then on, it's 12.56. Last week, Snell no-hit the Dodgers for 4 2/3. And then, in rapid order, walk, homer, walk, single, and Cash has seen all of this. The last guy up before he gave him the hook was the 9th batter in the order, and he hit a rope to center field. And now, at this point, you've got Betts and you've got Seager coming up for a 3rd time. The mistake isn't yanking Snell to me. The mistake is putting in Anderson. Anderson's the wrong guy. In the regular season, he's lights out. But in the playoffs, his ERA is over 5. And, Mike, in his last 6 appearances, he's allowed a run. I understand that Kevin Cash is an easy target and a totally legitimate target. I just think in this case, he had seen Snell all year, and the hook wasn't as bad as what he did.
Tone, you're not playing lifetime achievement. You're playing the damn game tonight.
Right.
Use your eyes and your sense of everything. This is your livelihood. I don't care what he did last week. This guy has given up 1 hard-hit ball, maybe a 2nd hard-hit ball. All right. So, yes, you got what you're saying, too, about bringing a guy in who's been lit up lately. I don't want to go that far. I don't care who he had going warming up. You have got a guy on the mound that has the other people in the other dugout. And if you're a manager, the kind we know, you're watching them too. And they are shaking their heads when they walk back to the plate to the dugout. He has stymied them. If you are not smart enough, if all you're doing is playing probability, Tony, then go work at the Wynn in Vegas. I don't want to see you near a baseball diamond.
So let me go back into this for a second, because it's something Cash will have to live with if he never wins forever, in the way that Grady Little does, in the way that Daryl Bevel does, making these what appear to be bonehead calls. But I would tell you, Dave Roberts said the same thing with Clayton Kershaw. He let him pitch to two batters in the sixth inning or whenever it was, and he knew that his ERA after a certain point was bad, and he took him out to protect him and to make sure the Dodgers won that game. I think managers do this. I don't, you know, I'm not crazy about analytics. I don't want to take an anti-intellectual viewpoint here.
It's not intellectual.
I think that certain people, certain managers rely too much on numbers and not enough on feel. But I think the mistake was who he put in, not who he took out.
One of the guys I was texting with last night reminded me, he said, half the front offices in baseball would have done this. It is not just the manager, it's the front office. Last night was a sad night for baseball, Tony. You can say baseball as we knew it, fine. We know it better than somebody, in most cases, who's 25 years old. It's a sad night for baseball that a guy pitching a masterpiece, would he have taken, would you have defended Kevin Cash taking out Koufax or Gibson? That's the kind of performance this guy was spinning last night. And he took him out, and it's a sad night. It's a sad night for baseball. I don't care how anybody wants to defend it or paint it, even Kevin Cash. I don't care what he has to say. Now, we need to take a moment to celebrate what the Dodgers accomplished. They entered the season as the heavy favorites and delivered. Corey Seager won the World Series MVP. Mookie Betts, who I thought was the MVP, made good on every expectation plus. Clayton Kershaw changed his postseason narrative, and Dave Roberts answered his critics. Tone, how will you remember this Dodgers team?
I love the fact that you don't want to hear from Kevin Cash.
I don't.
It makes me so happy. It just makes me so happy. Hey, Kevin. Shut up.
I don't want to hear him.
Who cares?
Don't want to hear him.
All right, let me answer this particular question. I think it's very hard to make an accurate assessment because they played 60 games. They left 100 games out in the hallway somewhere. You got to play 162 to make valid comparisons. But I had Richard Justice, our dear friend, on my podcast this morning. Richie's been covering this stuff for 30 or 40 years. And he thinks the Dodgers are one of the great teams he's ever seen. He points to the fact that they were on, let me get the numbers correct, they were on 116 win pace, and they were outscoring their opponents by 2 runs per game, and the last time this happened was the 1939 Giants. That's an awfully long time ago, or 1939 Yankees. Whichever one it was, Yankees.
Yankees with right. Garrett.
They were down 3-1 in the previous series, so they won 7 out of 9. Let me just add this. I can tell you how great I think the team is, but let me add this. This is a just ending for the Dodgers. They got beat by cheaters in Houston. I believe Boston was cheating as well. I am glad that the Dodgers won this World Series. I think that's a good result.
I'm less interested in the history of it, although the history of baseball makes it a sport that makes for that kind of comparison more than the others. I'm thinking of Mookie Betts. The face of this team is Mookie Betts. I don't care if he didn't win the MVP. And I was kind of surprised to hear that he didn't win the MVP. I realized, look, they have so many stars on that team, Tony. Somebody's going to pop up at any moment. And this could go on for the next couple of years. But Mookie Betts got there, and he didn't waste 4 or 5 times going to the playoffs and losing in the LCS and losing in the World Series. They got Mookie Betts, and he's flying over fences, and he's hitting home runs, and he's daring off third base, and it's Mookie Betts is the face of it. Good for Kershaw, good for Dave Roberts, good for all these guys. Mookie Betts for me. For me.
Yeah, that's fine. He's the last piece. He's the last piece of the puzzle.
The most important piece. How those other pieces do without him? How do they do without him, those other pieces?
Clayton Kershaw is still the face of the Dodgers, and the fact that he rewrote his own history ought to make people happy because he had the chance to do
it. I'm happy for
him. And then he came through. And they got their lineup is so good that Peterson and Hernandez can't get on the field half the time. All right? Perhaps the most stunning news from last night was Justin Turner testing positive for coronavirus and being pulled from the game in the 8th inning when baseball found out. Turner left the dugout but emerged for post-game on-field celebrations with his teammates and families. At times, Turner's mask was off. Well, but how should baseball feel about this?
Well, you know, baseball, obviously, Tony, is trying to send a certain signal from the time they started this 60-game, as you pointed out, as opposed to 162-game season, with protocols and with demands. You know, and all the sports have done this. We've seen the NFL fine coaches on the sideline, not even in that sort of close and face-to-face interaction. And so baseball has got to feel like, oh, my God, and what do we have coming forward here? if you're the Dodgers, I mean, I know all those guys in this euphoria said, I'd trade places with him. I'm glad he was out there. But what do they really feel? They said all the right things into a microphone or a camera in live moments. What do they really feel? And what are we all going to feel if someone got seriously ill and had to be hospitalized from this? Yeah. So, Tony, there's a lot of emotions. I don't think any of them can be good.
I think it's important that we draw a distinction, as you're doing, between how baseball feels and how the Dodgers feel. As you say, both Mookie Betts and Corey Seager saying, look, he's got to be out here with us. Because the truth of the matter is they don't win the World Series without Justin Turner.
That's right.
Baseball is allowed to feel a little bit differently. I mean, my sense of this is, and this is a real tough call, because you want to have empathy with people. You don't get to celebrate World Series victories all the time. The Dodgers have been there a bunch, and as you pointed out, for weeks and months, they never actually won it. So you want the guy to be out there. And he was contagious in the first inning and the third inning and the fifth inning
when he was
in the dugout.
Yeah.
Okay? And he was. But once you find out, I think that changes things. There are people on the field who are not just the Dodgers. They're members of families. They're other people working. I just don't know what to say other than we say this about politicians all the time, put the mask on. Somebody should have said to Justin Turner, keep the mask on. Maybe they all should have kept the masks on. But that was rough.
Tony, there's so much we don't know. I think this story still has to develop over who told,
you know what I hope
who told
for,
them
Mike?
What and when.
Yeah, I hope it was a false positive.
Yeah,
what
that'd be the easiest way to reconcile it all,
they tried to
it?
Keep him off the field and get him off the field, and he said no, and the Dodgers said no. Let's take a break. Still to come, how should the Jets, how should they feel about Trevor Lawrence pondering a senior season?
And what should my man, Daryl Morey, do for the Sixers? What would he do and what should he do?
Yeah.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to what's the word, my attic is my paddock and my game never pulls up lame. Giddy up, what's first?
The Jets should feel blank about Trevor Lawrence considering staying at Clemson.
They should feel crestfallen. If you're going to go 0-16, you ought to be able to get the best player available in the draft. And if he's not available, you know, that would be terrible for them. You know how bad the Jets are? 19.5-point underdogs at Kansas City. 19.5 points is an unbelievable number. You know, I don't know if this is a ploy by Trevor Lawrence or what, but they could get him if they got Dabo Swinney to be the head coach of the Jets.
The Jets should feel prodded. Prodded into doing something about their sorry no-account franchise. Prodded into finding the kind of leadership that is going to move them along to get better, to become competitive, to stop being everybody's homecoming opponent. That's Trevor Lawrence saying no should incentivize them to be decent, Tony, and they're not right now. I think you'd agree with that, being the Jets fan you grew up.
No, the whole thing simply makes them look even more pathetic.
It does.
Next.
The 76ers would be blank to hire Daryl Morey as head of basketball operations.
They would be smaller We all know that Daryl Morey likes to make a lot of trades. In 13 seasons at Houston, 77 trades. And by the end of the day, the Rockets had 77 guys who were 6'4". They make the playoffs every year. I give them all the credit, Daryl Morey, for that. And they're interesting to watch, fun to watch. It's already on the internet that he'll trade Joel Embiid for James Harden. Joel Embiid's playing somewhere else next year. He's done.
Tony, it would be aggressive to hire my man Daryl Morey for the reasons that you just kind of gloss over. Because your Knicks, which haven't made the playoffs maybe once in the past 13 years, and that time, Daryl Morey's team made it every year. And don't just go
every
small
year.
Ball, because Daryl Morey can play it any way you want. The thing is, he keeps the team in contention. I know they have not won. They got close. A Chris Paul hamstring from winning the whole thing. But, Tony, they're in contention, and they're fun to watch, as you did say. And so they'd be aggressive and smart to hire Daryl Morey.
I just wish Daryl Morey had gone, say, to Vanderbilt, and then we wouldn't have to deal with him all the time because he's a Northwestern guy. Even though I like
Wildcats.
That's it.
Go Wildcats.
Eat your words, Wilbon.
Go Cats.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, more bad news for the Wisconsin football team.
Yep. Yeah, that's too bad. Bo Jackson makes a claim that some are finding hard to believe.
Look at the change in Philadelphia. Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey. This is a huge change. Huge.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. But
you mean from the process?
Maybe they can win in the East. Maybe they can win in the East.
Maybe, Tony. Maybe they can. I got double reason to root for them now.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 83rd birthday, Lenny Wilkins. History lesson, kids. Wilkins is best known now as an NBA coach. He coached more NBA games than anyone, 2,487. And he won 1,332 of them, including the NBA championship with Seattle in 1979. Wilkins coached 32 seasons with Seattle, Portland, Cleveland, Atlanta, Toronto, and the Knicks. He's in the Hall of Fame as a coach. He's also in the Hall of Fame as a player. He started at Boys High in New York City as a silky left-handed point guard. Look up Boys High. He went to Providence to play for Joe Mullaney. Look up Joe Mullaney. Wilkins played 16 seasons in the NBA, most notably in St. Louis, but also Cleveland, Portland, and Seattle. Look up St. Louis and look up Seattle. Wilkins was a 9-time All-Star. He averaged 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. I mean it as a compliment when I say Lenny Wilkins is a poor man's Oscar Robertson. And look up Oscar Robertson. One more thing. Wilkins is in the Hall of Fame for a third accomplishment, being an assistant on the Dream Team. And please look up the Dream Team.
If they got to look up the Dream Team, they're too lost, Tony. But Lenny Wilkins, I was able to sit with him in Las Vegas at a coach's summer league situation, like recently. And just to listen to Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah.
Like, we don't hear enough of him, his greatness. Thank you for chronicling that. Lenny Wilkins, one of the all-time greats in the history of the sport of basketball.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary, Oakland A's. On this day, 31 years ago, Oakland completed a sweep of the Giants to win the Earthquake World Series with a 9-6 win in Game 4. It was the only World Series the Bash brothers, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, ever won. At the beginning, the allure of this series was the proximity of Oakland and San Francisco, separated by a bay and a bridge. But the memory of this series is the earthquake right before Game 3. It was a beautiful, cloudless afternoon in San Francisco, and then suddenly the earth began to roil and the concrete at Candlestick Park began to buckle. Easterners like me didn't know what was happening. But in the broadcast booth, Al Michaels had lived in California long enough to know it was an earthquake. In the press box, typewriters and papers were flying around. Commissioner Faye Vinson postponed the resumption of the series for 10 days. I wrote a couple of stories, went back to D.C., and didn't return for games 3 and 4. Oakland indeed bashed the Giants, outscoring them 32-14 in 4 games.
You know how I know you didn't go to games 3 and 4? Because you tapped some youngin' on the shoulder and said, "Youngin', there might be another earthquake. I'm done." You want to guess who that was?
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah,
that was you.
That's
good.
Right.
Good job out of you.
Yeah,
I'm happy
you
for you.
For acknowledging that.
Happy trails.
50 years later.
Happy trails to the Wisconsin-Nebraska game. That game, scheduled for this Saturday, will not be played or rescheduled. Wisconsin is pausing all team-related activities for at least 7 days due to an elevated number of coronavirus cases within the Badgers program. As of this morning, a total of 12 people within the football program, including head coach Paul Christ, have tested positive within the past 5 days. The positive tests come from 6 players, presumably including quarterbacks Graham Mertz and Chase Wolfe, whose positive tests had previously been reported, and 6 staff members. Chris said he found out about his positive test this morning, and he is isolating at home. Wisconsin's next scheduled game is at home against Purdue on November 7th. This is the first no contest under the Big Ten protocols.
Tony, this is very representative of the issues confronting the upper Midwest right now, very much including Wisconsin. I hope that everybody gets well as quickly as possible, and we don't have a flare-up of this all over the conference that I am an alumnus of.
That's the risk that everybody takes
it
when
is
they
the
play.
Risk.
One
it
omission.
Is.
The Rockets are reportedly close to naming Mavericks assistant Steven Silas as their new head coach.
Very good. Be a nice hire. Good to hear that out of Paul's son.
That's great.
It would
I mean,
be.
If when sons, when it fathers, that's great. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The Miller family is selling the Jazz to 40-year-old software billionaire Ryan Smith for $1.66 billion. Is that all right with you?
Man, that franchise has been in the family since like the mid-1980s, but this is the way of the world, is it not? Mark Stein reports the Clippers are interested in signing Lakers' potential free agent Rajon Rondo. That does make sense, doesn't it?
He's a very valuable player. He's very smart. He's difficult to deal with a lot, but he's got 2 rings. How many Clippers got, Mike? Refresh my memory.
Last
zero,
checked,
right?
They need a guard.
Zero
a point guard.
Rings,
they need
right?
him.
Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson is in concussion protocol this week. Your thoughts?
Allen Robinson is the best and most consistent offensive player on a team with an awful offense. What do you think that's going to be like Sunday if he can't play? Bo Jackson told Dion he would average 350 to 400 yards, Bo would, in today's NFL because no one knows how to wrap and tackle anymore. You agree with that?
No, it's absurd. It's lovely to listen to. It makes me happy. The logic is good, but no, he wouldn't get that
no,
many. Last one, Champions League today. What stood out besides Shakhtar?
Not Shakhtar today, Tone. Chelsea 4-0.
No?
Pulisic scored in the 90th minute. Surely you're going to go out and raise a pint at that result.
2 pints to Pulisic. He's the golden boy, isn't he?
He is.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or, if you want, Apple Podcasts.
He's Wonder Boy, not Golden Boy. TB12
Wonder Boy.
Golden
I like
Boy.
That better.
Wonder Boy.
Like- PTI.